The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub
for McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh yes, a winter's day in Melbourne at its absolute best. The roof is open at Etihad Stadium. The sun is shining. We're here for a big 2 hour 20 preview before Carlton take on the GWS Giants. Guests, have we got guests? The Brisbane Lions victorious coach. Very nice to say that. Chris Fagan will join us. Brendan Goddard. After a big win by the Essendon Footy Club last night, Carlton's head of footy, Andy McKay, will join us for a chat. The coach of the GWS, Leon Cameron. A bit of breaking news out of GWS, which Jay-Z will get to in a moment. Big day tomorrow at the MCG for Neil Danaher and the fight against MND. David Neitz will join us. So we have got action packed for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I look around this box. Very, very happy to have all these men here. Wayne Schwoss is here as always. G'day, Swatter.
Afternoon, Howie. Afternoon, listeners and boys. Looking forward to this, and I'm really excited and looking forward to the reincarnation of Leon Jones as a defender for the Blues.
He's got a big job ahead of him. Joining us with Duck on a, well, a furlough, a trip, I don't know what you want to call it, but Duck's in Bali. So Joey Montagna steps in. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good afternoon, Howie. Good, thank you. It's good to be here amongst friends. It's been a tough week. Tough week, so it's nice to be surrounded by good people.
There's a bit to talk to you about, no less so than your beautiful wife, Erin, joined us on the Friday huddle. And to be honest, she was firing some amazing shots. So I need to play some of that to you later on and see how you respond to that.
Looking forward to that. She was a bit nervous, but she said she got looked after, so you did well.
Well, she didn't hold back. Jay-Z Clark is here in a nice sort of striped knit today, I'd say. Hello, Clarky.
Good to see you. How are you? Like, Roozy back. Just nice sort of glow. Mm. Gave the tan a little top up during the week in Port Douglas, Roozy. But a bit of news happening, Howie. We'll get to that in a second.
And Roozy, you are here. Great to see you back. We missed you last week.
Yeah, I heard the story. It was very good.
Disappointed.
Look, I'm a bit tired today because my young bloke had a few people over last night. 23-year-old and his mate Harry come down. Very, when they get together. So the M&M, I think, Joey was on. 50 Cent.
A bit of fitty.
Oh, a bit of fitty, a bit of M&M.
Do you hear the music from the other wing?
Tammy, we're upset. Tammy was a bit upset. I was a bit more relaxed. And Tyler was a bit filthy because he got woken up. So Dylan, Harry, if you're listening, you better tidy it up because otherwise I'm in more trouble than when I lose the quiz.
Yeah, well, the quiz is later on. Now, there's something, Swatty, you've always taught me if there's something uncomfortable in the room, it's best to bring it out early.
Yep.
And something, I found something very uncomfortable during the week because before he left to go away, Roozy, I said, mate, I need a good podcast for the drive home. And he said, Howie, have I got a podcast for you? Mm. And I was thinking,
it'd have to be your mindfulness or meditation or yoga or finding your inner zen. It'd be something like that.
Exactly what I'm thinking. Mung beans, etc.
Yeah. He put me
onto a fella called Joe Rogan. And he said, you've got to listen to a certain guest. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this guest, Joey.
Now,
but
this hasn't come from me. This has come from my son. So let's just make sure.
Well, I'm not sure, Roozy, because you're the one that recommended it. It's a gentleman by the name. I don't know if you have heard of him. Check him out on Instagram. Dan Bolzerian. Now, you might not be familiar with this work, but this podcast went for over 3 hours, and I got nothing.
Was it that long, was it?
Oh, Roozy, I only
listened to 15 minutes where he had to have his stomach pumped and all that sort of stuff.
In that 15 minutes, did you hear anything about girls, bikinis, gambling, orgies, guns, or Viagra? Because that's pretty much what I listened to for 3 hours and 20 minutes.
I didn't know it went for that long. And that's what I'm saying about Dylan and Harry when they get together, they're trouble. He was the one that put me on. And funny, and I don't want to drop a name, but I ran into Eric Banner during the week. Oh, and we got on to talking about, for some reason, we got on talking about Instagram and Dan Bolzerian. And he worked with him on The Lone Survivor.
Right.
And said that a little bit of a questionable character. I didn't actually listen to the three. I got the 10-minute segment about a little bit about the Viagra.
You got the girls and the bikinis and the orgies.
I was in the car with a 22-year-old. Yeah.
So I follow him on Instagram. Is it real? All those photos he puts up, is that real?
Real. Wow. All real. $154 million in a game of poker. And then spent 3 years spending it with a delightful bevy of beautiful women in bikinis and Viagra. And this is what the Zen Master said to have a listen to on the way home. How do you reckon I was when I got home, Roozy? After listening a bit of that. Now, Jay, we'll get a little bit of that to play you next week. We might have to be very late in the show because,
Now, Jay-Z, yes, some news out of GWS that is breaking at the moment. Really disappointing news as well.
Yeah, Brett DeLeo had a lot of trouble with his calf this year. Hasn't played a game for his new club this season. And yesterday morning at training, just as his training was really starting to build up, he's hurt his calf again. And this time it is his good calf, which I'm not sure is a good or bad thing yet. So we're speaking to Leon Cameron just after 2 o'clock and we'll get his take on that. But it's fair to say it's put the rest of his season in doubt. He's on a 3-year deal up there at GWS. Richmond did very well out of this trade, I think, and clearly that's the case when you're taking the injury issue at the moment. They got a first-round pick and a third-round pick, Richmond, for Brett DeLeo, and he's been unable to play a game. But clearly, you know, this puts him a long way back. He may not play a game this season.
Yeah, look, I think Jared McVay's going through something similar at the Swans. I mean, it is an injury. Now, I mean, we're hoping DeLeo plays, as with Macca as well, but Joey, it is an injury that we often see with older players. It's the calves, and I don't know. I mean, I did biology in year 12 and dissected a rat. That's about the limit of my knowledge. But it is an injury that we often see guys towards the end of their career, and it does become very debilitating. So we hope that the – did he have a history of it last year at Richmond?
Yeah, he did. It was a big problem for him at Richmond last year. So he went to GWS knowing that he had this calf issue. So, they were clearly aware of it.
Yep.
Because remember, the Bulldogs and Geelong were also interested in Brett DeLeo at the time, and it looks like those clubs have potentially dodged the bullet.
And Wells is the other one, Joey, too. Yeah. So you've got three really top liners in McVay, DeLeo and Wells that are all struggling at the moment with calf injuries.
How did he finish the year off last year, Leeds? I can't remember.
I don't think he played. I don't think he was playing
late. So then the medicals get done by clubs that are looking for players from other clubs.
Yep.
So they would have got the tick of approval, no doubt, because if there was a grave concern with regards to potential long-term injuries, you'd question whether or not you get him into the club.
But that's the hard thing with calves is if they can heal in 4 weeks and you can not have an issue with them again, or you can just keep redoing them, and they come unexpectedly. You might feel great, and I know Jared McVay's been the case. You're running, you're training, you feel great, and all of a sudden, pop, it comes out of nowhere. So it is a very difficult injury, I suppose, to diagnose over the long term.
How old is he?
30.
Yeah.
And so what have we got? How many rounds have we got left? Sort of 9 rounds till finals?
Yeah, probably something like that.
So they're saying it's a grade one tear, which is at the lesser end. So maybe in normal terms that might be a month out of the game. But, you know, with his history, he has to get some conditioning in, clearly, because he hasn't played this year. It interrupted him through the preseason. So you think he'd have to play a fair bit of twos football first before he's back in the senior team, potentially, for a finals tilt. So GWS, and as I said, we'll speak to Leon Cameron just after 2 o'clock, but they think he's got one more roll of the dice left to get things right for this season.
Well, following on from what Joey was saying, I mean, Bennell, who's only 21, I mean, he's had calf issues for 2 years. So it's, even though we're talking about perhaps later in your career, it is one that does pop up, can recover in a week, two weeks, 3 weeks, and it is also one that can linger. So even a young bloke like Bennell Swatter has had a lot of them.
They're in a good position, though. They don't have to rush him back. I mean, they're winning games of footy. I think they've got 12 players on their injury list at the moment, and I think from memory about 10 of those would be first selection players. So they're in a strong position. They're still able to bank wins, so they don't have to rush him back. They can just take their time.
He might need to be one of those blokes that gets sent over to old mate Dr. Wolfgang Wilhelm, whatever his name is.
Healing
Maxi Rook.
Well, Maxi Rook went and a few.
Well, you had a calf earlier this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a calf. Yeah,
how many weeks
I didn't
did
want to jinx
miss?
Myself. That's why
no,
I bring
that's
it up.
Okay.
No,
sorry, Joey, I've done it for you.
It lingered. It sort of took 4 or 5 weeks, but touch wood, I've come back and haven't had any issues with them. So, yeah. Doesn't mean you have to keep redoing them.
And Nathan Freeman went to see Healing Hans.
Yeah, we've had a few go over. I reckon Michael Gardner might have gone over a few years ago and he was playing. There's a few been over there.
Well, he treated Usain Bolt. He treated Bono when he fell off the stage. Doesn't he get the
did Bono
calf
get back
blood?
To playing?
Yeah. Oh, Bono was on fire. 3 weeks later, he got 38 for Northern Ireland. Unstoppable in December he was.
Played the All-Ireland final.
What's he injects calf blood.
Active vegan.
Yeah, that's that. That's the one.
Apparently, he's a different cat. Real left-field operator. His office is quite unusual, but he cheats all the Barcelona stars and, you know, he's the big dog in the soft tissue world, that's for sure.
Watching the Hawks yesterday, they came. They lost their momentum a little bit, Jay-Z. Explain the incident, not that it had anything to do with the Hawks losing the game, but it's caused a bit of talk today.
Well, the Hawks had kicked 5 goals in a row, and they were on the charge when Ben Ainsworth for Gold Coast marked in the forward line. 20 metres out from goal, he was lining up, had the shot and missed. It was a behind, but the umpire paid a very controversial free 50-metre penalty against Caden Brown for going into the protected zone. Mm-hmm. So basically encroaching the mark. And the AFL have backed the call. It was the right call. Clearly, Caden went in front of the umpire. You can hear the umpire say, hold, hold, as in stay in line with me. And Caden creeps forward and gets too close to Ben. Fair to say, Alistair Clarkson was not happy with umpiring generally after the match. And this is what he had to say.
I'm not allowed to comment on disgraceful umpiring for me, so I'm better off not saying anything. Yeah, we didn't lose the game because of the umps. There's a few dubious decisions over the course of the game that you just got to take the swings and roundabouts, and unfortunately we hit a few roadblocks in that regard today.
He's in trouble for those comments, fellas. Remember, the AFL fined Brad Scott, North Melbourne coach, $80,000 last year for sort of implying that there was a bias, an umpiring bias against Lindsay Thomas for head ducking. So the AFL have tried to give the coaches a little bit of leniency. They don't want to be seen to be fining coaches sort of every week, but I've got absolutely no doubt that he will get a please explain and potentially a fine for those comments, Roosie. He did say, do you think he went, you know, over the mark with those comments, saying, just, I know he tried to be clever.
Yeah, look, I think you know what you're saying. And on the way down, you're almost hoping that someone asked you about it. I think if he had worded it differently, you know that he would. If he had said the umpires were disgraceful,
yep.
Well, which he basically did.
Yep.
So I think he's in trouble. Yep. Yeah. But I think part of it would be, well, I'm going to have a swing and, yeah. He would have done that intentionally, I would think.
Joey, the psychology in the modern football, you played for a St Kilda side that won, one season you won an incredible number of games in a row. I don't know how many.
11.
19 games in a row. So you're at the top of the tree, you're playing grand finals. A couple of years later, you're rolling up on a weekend knowing that everything is going to have to go right for you to even get within a couple of kicks. That's what the Hawthorn players are going through at the moment. How difficult is that when you're used to being the best and all of a sudden you roll up knowing you might not beat the middle and lower teams?
Yeah, it is tough, no doubt. I mean, you play to win and that's your aim. And when you're in a team that you know it's going to be harder to win week in, week out, I learned you need to find other ways to stimulate yourself, other ways to motivate yourself. It can't always be focused on the result, because if you're only worrying about the results and it's not going your way, well, you will fall off the cliff. So I think these senior Hawthorn players need to find other motivations, whether it's developing the next wave of younger players, whether it's taking on more of a coaching role, something else to keep them motivated and stimulated to enjoy their football and try and get results.
So what were the things that you incorporated into your week and your season to give you that stimulation?
Yeah, I went through a patch where I really struggled. I did let the results get to me and it affected my football and wasn't enjoying it. And then there was a bit of a turning point where I said, okay, well, I can choose to just, you know, lament the results, or I can actually say, no, you know what, I'm going to drive the next wave of the kids and hopefully then I can get on the tail end of it and play in success, which is why I'm still playing now. So I really tried to buy into developing the next wave of kids and getting them to take ownership of their football and the club and lead and drive that way so that selfishly on the back end of it, they could carry me to a finals campaign, which is I'm still hoping for.
I'm going to ask you a different way, Joe, because, and I'm not going to betray the trust. One of your teammates I ran into at the start of that development, after BJ had been traded, Dell had been traded, and he was quite disappointed. He felt that there was another opportunity for St Kilda Football Club. I want to ask you, from a Hawthorn point of view, how much does losing Mitchell, how much does losing
Lewis,
when deep down you may think that we're a chance to have another little... And now it's not as black and white as that,
yeah.
But it was interesting in discussing it with your teammate at the time. And I wonder how many of those in your situation, whether that's Hodgie, and I've spoken to Hodgie, mind you, or Gibbo, or has just seen it go, well, hang on, we aren't that far away. We've just given away our first and second best and fairest. What's going on at this footy club?
Yeah, no doubt the psyche would shift. And that's why it was, and I remember when we were going through that stage, you had to be careful of the wording use, because once you start using the word rebuild, well, then all of a sudden, you know, everyone starts dropping standards and all those things, going, well, we're not aiming to play finals, and everything can drop away. So you need to be really careful. And that's why I think having a really strong leader and a coach like Clarko is the best thing for this group, because he will find ways to, as I said, to stimulate them and motivate them and get results without necessarily having to be able to win every week and play finals.
Louis Taylor gets it to Zorko, just puts on the afterburners, accelerated like a Ferrari amongst festivers, and finishes off beautifully to Zorko the Great.
Gee, that's a beautiful kick. He saw Hardwood with a bit of space in the centre square, and now look forward, and he's got no one in front of him. Tommy Cutler comes in and kicks his second.
Zorko kicks a great Crummers goal.
Wow.
Gives his opponent a high five on the way through in Tucker. The looping handball, little Louis Taylor ran on. He's got some space. He can finish. He can put the nail in the coffin. Oh. What a goal from tight angle. And there's the siren. A massive win for the Brisbane Lions.
Massive indeed, a 57-point win to Brisbane over Fremantle. This is the Sunday Rub, Mark Howe, with you, Wayne Schwoss, Jay Clark, Joe Montagna and Paul Roos. And it is great for the first time this season on the Sunday Rub to get the coach of the Brisbane Lions on the line, Chris Fagan. G'day, coach. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Wonderful to speak to you. I'm not sure what the weather is in Brisbane this morning, but I'm sure in some way the sun is shining on you and your footy club. You must wake up this morning with a big smile on your face, coach. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, thanks very much. It was good after having lost 9 in a row. Just good for everyone at the club, everyone that works there, the players, just to have that experience of winning a game again and seeing smiles back on faces and getting that sort of emotional nourishment you need from time to time with a developing team just to keep them on the track.
Fakes, just before we get on the game, I thought obviously the Shacky thing was big, but I don't think the kid got enough credit, to be perfectly frank. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, you know, to move clubs now, I think, like publicly, yep. And the kids, I mean, you spoke about it, and I agree, I think it's ridiculous a kid signs a two-year contract, you know, and it should be three, but full credit to the kid. I think it's fantastic, shows a lot about his character, even from a management point of view, and I think the kid deserves a really big tick for re-signing with the footy club.
Yeah, I agree there is. I mean, it's probably the best thing that happened all week. It's probably even better than the win, I think, because we've lost so many players up here. It's just like a feeling that the tide's turned a little bit and boys are deciding to stay. And you know, I said to him last night, he didn't play in the game, but I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, I reckon you helped improve the mood around this place enormously this week by your decision. So I said, you can enjoy a little bit of a part of this win, mate, even though you didn't play. So, he had a pretty decent hit out in the Neefle yesterday and played with a bit of energy, and I'm sure he's relieved and looking forward to the weeks ahead.
Hey, Fakes, sorry, Roosie. Just to extend on that, when the news came through, I think on Thursday night, without understanding it and the decisions around why he made the decision to stay up there, from an outsider looking in, it would suggest a lot of good things are happening behind closed doors. Are you in a position to sort of explain some of those things that would convince somebody like Josh to recommit to the footy club again?
Well, hopefully, you know, what he's found himself in this year is we sort of tried to create that environment where people can improve, where you build confidence and belief and where you build mateship. You know, I've got a lot of young lads up here from all over the country, but particularly from country Victoria, and I think they've got a bit of a sense that the club can improve and we can become competitive again and that they want to be a part of it, and that Josh himself has decided that he wants to be a part of it as well, because I think in most workplaces, whether it be a footy place or wherever, if you enjoy coming to work and you feel like you're improving on a regular basis, it's usually a pretty good motivation to stay.
Mate, when you come to a club, obviously you've been in footy a long time, so you know a lot about the Lions and all the other clubs, and you scout them and you watch them play. But who has really, really surprised you, you know, from a performance point of view? I mean, Dane Zorko, I've always been a massive fan of his, but he's a bit out of sight, out of mind. But who are those guys that's really, really impressed you, probably to the level that you maybe didn't expect that they were that good a player or a trainer or just a person around the footy club?
Yeah, well, Dane Zorko is a good example, and you're right about him, Rosie. Like, if he was down at Melbourne, he'd be a star. Like, he's an outstanding player, and he produces week in, week out, and he's not a very tall fella, but he can jump up and take a mark, and there's not too many things he can't do. So, and he's a real energiser around the footy club. You know, that's the bit you don't know from afar, what their personalities are like, but he brings that energy. I think a bloke like Sam Mays, who's played at halfback last night, he picked up 29 possessions. He's been regularly above the 20 this year. He's a player I didn't know a lot about. Wasn't sure what he'd be, but he's performed, you know, consistently well. You get a different appreciation of a Steph Martin in the ruck and the work that he does. There's a lot of them, really. Louis Taylor is a great little player, and you know, once he gets his confidence up and he's prepared to take the game on, he can do a lot of things. He probably doesn't, you know, realise how good he is quite yet, but. Darcy Gardner's another one down back who just gets the job done each week on different sized forwards. And Harris Andrews is a 20-year-old. He's really surprised me, not only how good a player he is, but what great leadership qualities he has at a really young age.
The Lions defeated Fremantle by 57 points yesterday. Very happy to be speaking to Chris Fagan, their coach, on the Sunday Rub. Jay Clark.
And Fags, it was great to see your man Tommy Rockliffe back in the action. I think he was leading the AFL for clearances before his injury. He, from a Melbourne perspective, he probably was the face of the Lions' struggles. Can you tell us just some of the honest conversations you had with him when you first went to the club and just how you've seen him grown or, enjoy himself this season?
Yeah, look, you know, I've probably heard, like all the other people in Melbourne, the stories about Tommy, and you always know in football that some of the things are true and some of them are a little bit exaggerated. So when I first got the job, I met Tom at his manager's office in Melbourne, and I just told him basically all the things I'd heard about him and let him tell me whether they were true or not. And he agreed with some and some he thought were pretty harsh. But it was good to get that out on the table. And I made it really clear to him in that conversation that wasn't my opinion of him. It was more just things I'd heard and I needed to clear the air about it before we could move on together. And so we did that. And basically I sort of said to him, you know, from this point forward, I'll just judge you on how you are, you know, in the present and not what's happened in the past. And I can't fault him, really. He trained well over the pre-season, and he did so with a bit of an Achilles injury, so it wasn't easy for him to manage his body, and his attitude around the place has been fantastic. And then when he didn't get the captaincy, he didn't sort of, you know, spit the dummy and get upset. He just took that on the chin and has got on with it and been a real leader around the club and very, very happy with him. And I'm not sure what happened in the past, but all I can say is that the way he's been since I've been at the club has been nothing but fully supportive and exemplary to his teammates.
Coach, just before we let you go, you've had such an involvement in so many levels and so many areas of footy. The role of the senior coach, is it? How is it compared to what you thought it would be? Is it a fun job? Is it an all-consuming job? How are you going with it all?
It's all consuming, but all the other jobs I've had in footy, I'm usually okay leading up to the game. I just noticed since I've been a senior coach, I find it really hard to eat for about 36 hours before a game, and I get a bit toey, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'd been a coach prior to that, but being an AFL coach takes it to another level because you just feel that sense of responsibility for performance, and you know you've got to explain it to the media and the players and the board and everyone post each match. So that brings with it challenges, but I'm really enjoying the work up here at Brisbane. Nights like last night make it all worthwhile, and you just hope that you can keep improving and get that sense of achievement as you go along. And I guess for more than anything, you enjoy seeing people smile and enjoy their footy. At clubs where that hasn't been the case for a while, it's important. So I'm loving the work and, you know, hoping that we can keep moving forward and getting better as a footy team.
We were talking earlier, Fags, about your good mate, Alistair Clarkson. I'm not sure if you're across it, but he blew up at the umpiring, the umpires after yesterday's loss and did it in a sort of a clever way, potentially. And the AFL might come down on him. Can I just ask you your relationship with him? You know, how important or how much of your role, when he did get quite heated after the game or, you know, throughout the game, did you try and sort of calm him down and you'll work with him from a relationship point of view?
Yeah, oh, we had a strong relationship, and Clarko and I have known each other for 20 years. He just finished playing when I first started coaching the reserves at Melbourne, and he was on the fitness coaching staff, I think, then, so I got to know him that year. So I've known him for a long time. I always saw my role to try and mediate a little bit, calm him down, maybe get him to sleep on things before he'd come out and say anything. Yeah, he can, and he knows that about himself. And most of the time, you know, he would listen to me and have a bit of a sleep on it and think about his response. But sometimes, you know, he just likes to fire off at the hip. I didn't see any of the instances that occurred yesterday. I was reading some stuff on the internet last night on their game and noticed he had a crack at the umpires, but you'd have to be there to know. But I think it's always good to have someone you can bounce those things around with before you actually go and do your press conference.
Coach, we really appreciate your time. May it be a few wins in a row now for the Brisbane Lions. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. Cheers, boys.
And a very, very nice win by the Essendon Football Club yesterday. Did they do a job on Port Adelaide, winning by 70 points? And joining us on the line, couldn't be happier to speak to this man than Brendan Goddard. G'day, BJ.
You got me?
Yes, we've got you, brother. Fellas, we've got you. Hey, what a win last night. That was a destroyation. That was a big win. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, they would obviously come off a pretty good win last week, so we knew we had a fair challenge on our hand, but yeah, we're quite confident going into the game. Had a good performance last week without getting the result. So started well and able to maintain that for four quarters, which is probably the most positive thing to come out of it.
Mate, we've had Woosher on here a couple of times and we've sort of spoken about the off-season, BJ, but I guess from your point of view, you went through last year, but what's probably the thing that surprised you most? I think some of your best footy this year has been exceptional, and last night, as Woosh said after the game, you know, your best four-quarter performance, but you've showed really good glimpses all season. What were the sort of doubts going into the year, BJ, and what's been the most pleasing thing about how the side's really building?
Yeah, probably the doubts were probably just obviously around the returning guys and how they would come back. And I know we're only halfway through the season now, but whether they're able to get through the season relatively unscathed and injury-free, so that's still an ongoing challenge. But I had no doubt about their talent and their ability to play football, so there's no real doubt there. It's probably more a physical thing. And mentally, they were in a really good space. So yeah, it was more of a physical challenge and probably a few just unknowns rather than doubts with those guys. And then surprising thing, probably our best footy is good enough. And I think the challenge is, like most teams bar the dominant teams, the top three or four teams, is defining that consistency. So it's that's the challenge for most of those teams outside the top four. And that's something we're striving on. But yeah, definitely the surprise or the positive thing is that our best footy is clearly good enough.
And Beej, a nice reward for Cale Hooker last night. Obviously, he's been working hard as a forward and maybe not quite getting the returns, but it was good to see him last night dominate on the scoreboard.
Yeah, he's obviously had a couple of lean weeks and been building as a forward. I think internally we know that he's more of a developing forward, having spent most of his time down back. So he's going to have games where he does go missing, but he does allow our forward line to function better, straighten us up, to use an old term, to be honest, and allows Joey to a bit more freedom, and then causes a bit more headaches because he's such a great one-on-one mark. Then when he adds his or gets ability then to lead up at the footy, he'll be a pretty hard player to match up on. And then, as I was going to say, it allows Joey to play more up the ground with having such a dominant figure deeper in the forward line.
Hey, BJ, there's a number of players that naturally draw a lot of attention, but calling the game last night, really enjoyed the performances of McKenna, McGrath and Hartley, three younger players that really seem to be building in confidence, and as a result of that, the influence on their game of football has been pretty important.
Yeah, well, Pidge, McGrath, I don't think any of us had any doubts on his ability the moment he walked in the door and he put on the training kit. A great kid, really composed, great kick, just makes great decisions. And then you add his speed and agility and ball winning ability, then he's going to have a pretty special player. So we'll see him integrate more into the midfield. I know they tried to get him up there in the last quarter, but that, I don't think that panned out the way he'd hope or we'd hope. But yeah, the good story too is Connor, the Irishman, and struggled early days with a bit of homesickness, you probably could imagine, being so far from home. And yeah, he's really, really developing into a really good half-back, damaging footballer. But he's also got to find a really good balance, or has to find a balance with his attacking, his ability, or when to know when to defend, because he's so attacking. And then Hearts. Hearts has been challenged the last couple of weeks and obviously had a good, development year last year, being exposed to so much senior footy with the other guys out. So, he's developing quite nicely. But, he's in particular been challenged the last couple of weeks just for some big jobs, and we've been challenging him internally just to get better because we know his potential.
The Bombers are set to celebrate one of the most remarkable careers in the game's history, honouring Kevin Sheed at the MCG on Thursday the 29th of June for 50 years of Sheed. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful event. For info and tickets, head to essendonfc.com.au. Bombers superstar Brendan Goddard is with us, as is Jay Clark on the Sunday Rub.
BJ, it seems like you've been through hell and back, really, in your first 4 years at Essendon. You know, you unknowingly walked into a storm. Really, but now that fog and that cloud is gone, is this the most you've enjoyed your football at Essendon, this season, where you are at right now?
I've enjoyed it other years. Yeah, it's been difficult, but yeah, you can. And funny enough, I actually enjoyed last year. It was actually really fun. I've talked about having the weight of expectation off your shoulders as a team with wins and losses, and that actually made footy really enjoyable last year with even the difficult circumstance we're in. So, yeah, you could say this year it's some sense of normality or back to normality, just worrying about football and football problems. I've said it a number of times before, footy's hard enough from day to day and playing on weekends and without any distractions going on out, you know, in personal life, business life or whatever it may be, family life. So there's definitely a sense of normality and essentially a weight lifted off everyone's shoulders. And I think that was really evident when the guys returned this year and they stepped into the door and saw our culture that we created in the short time that they were gone. And they really, really saw the direction of where we're trying to take the footy club.
That said then, BJ, was it hard seeing the front page news this week and then hard for the playing group with Nathan Lovett Murray, you know, publicly expressing concerns about the health of his daughter?
Oh, was it hard? No. Those things are case by case and have to be handled that way. I think he's the last of a couple to go through that. And, you know, that's his prerogative. So, yeah, I hope everything's all right with him, and he's a good guy, so I hope it all works out for him, his family and the footy club.
BJ, you touched me in game number 300, and I don't say that lightly, and I know you don't do it for personal acclaim, but when you came out on the ground with Will Murray, who you'd obviously developed a relationship with a young 15-year-old bloke that had injured his spinal cord, it was one of the highlights I've seen this footy season. I thought it was just a really cool thing you were able to do.
Yeah, thanks, Harry. I didn't really know him that well even before I made the promise, to be honest, but it just something clicked with me that I put myself in his shoes, and because he was a promising footballer, he won't tell you that, but everyone I've talked to and read about him, he's a really good prospect as a junior kid, so to essentially have his dream ripped away from him in the matter of seconds and with the injury he does have is, I think naturally we all go there and then put ourselves in his shoes and his family's shoes, and that's initially what I thought, and then I said, how can I, you know, help him or give him a taste of what AFL footy is and give him something to aim for. Because he does see it as an injury, he doesn't see it as a disability. So,
yeah,
he's actually one of his long term goals is to play footy in some sense again. So, and I think we need AFL players can abuse the situation we're in because we're in a position of influence. And if we can help anyone in any way to make their life better or their day better or whatever, I think we should really abuse it.
Yeah, spot on. And just before we let you go, mate, quite a change of scene. Are you a fan of Seinfeld?
A fan of what, sorry?
The show Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, I'm not actually, no.
Well, mate, the Pretzelgate does need to get a mention here because I saw you copped a bit during the week and I knew why you did it, because you're going in there at half time, you're thirsty, and this is what pretzels do to you.
Pretzels. No. Yeah, that's been all over social media. You're obviously a Tom.
They were making you thirsty, mate. And someone
You're obviously a Seinfeld man, eh?
I love it. Love it. And as soon as I saw pretzels, I thought the man was thirsty.
Well, it's funny. Going over them off. But I actually saw the pretzels there, and I actually went to grab them. And then I thought, I actually don't eat pretzels at halftime ever, so why am I going to do it now? And then build dummy spit just to go with it. So,
because you don't eat them, you didn't want anyone else to.
Well, yeah, I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I just thought
you just didn't want to make your teammates thirsty. I can't
work out, BJ, why pretzels? I haven't seen pretzels in a room. So is that
it helps. Something about it helps maintain sodium levels or retain fluid. So one makes you thirsty. So yeah, it's probably just you have to drink. So therefore, you get something like that. Right. So.
I giggled. BJ, it reminded me of the good old days, mate. I giggle.
That's what all the boys are taking the Mickey out during the week, and Yeah, it's well, my nickname this week's obviously Pretzel, so I'll see. We'll see if that sticks. yeah, I've copped a fair bit of flack from social media circles, I know, but the boys all thought it was funny.
Mate, we really appreciate your time. Congratulations on the win, and who knows, the Bombers might be finals bound. Good luck for the rest of the season. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Sunday, Rob.
Cheers, fellas. Have a good call today.
Great despair. As soon as I saw it, it just made me think Pretzels the whole way through.
Hey, Joey, he's a good teammate, now a former teammate. You got a funny story you can share with us about BJ in your time at St Kilda?
Oh.
I have some time
there,
to think
well,
about
no,
it.
There was one where Rossi ripped through him where BJ decided to relieve himself a bit too close to the huddle and a bit too close to the coach's foot. Great. And that didn't go down well at all. And everyone's seen those Ross Lyon eyes. Well, he had those eyes going at BJ.
Was it quarter time?
No, it was a training. It was a training session. No, it wasn't in the game. It was at training. And was it, and
did Ross he get him in the shoe or not?
I think it might have sprayed the shoe a little bit, and Rossi just gave the look.
That's outstanding.
The old shoe sprayer. No good at all. I tell you what, I've seen a bit of the Montagnas this weekend, Roosie. On the Friday huddle, it was a treat to have Joey's wife, Erin, come into the studio, a delightful, wonderful, intelligent lady. As you would know, Roosie, any relationship, I guess, needs to be based on honesty.
Yes, absolutely.
Always a good stepping stone, I think.
Not sure where this is heading. Well, good luck with this.
Well, talking about Seinfeld, people that watch Seinfeld might understand the link here as well. It's been a Seinfeld heavy episode. I like a good love story, Joey. And your beautiful wife, I wanted to know where you first met. And
yep.
And she told us, A, where you first met, and B, what your first couple of lines were.
Well, actually, his friend came up and I was like, I actually can't understand this guy. He was really drunk and he was Irish, so it was Colm Begley. And I said to him, just stay there for a minute. My friend loves Irish guys. And I went and got my friend and I set them up and I thought, oh, my God, I've only come with one friend. Now I'm here at this pub on my own. So I was standing at the bar and he walked over and started chatting. So that's kind
of
how.
And was he a smooth style chatter or how did he go?
Oh, look, he was lovely. Yeah, we had a great chat. I wish he'd kind of told me the truth, but he told me he was from Queensland and that he was a marine biologist and all this stuff.
A marine biologist?
Yeah,
straight out of the George Costanza.
I didn't know.
Into the eye of the great fish.
Yeah. I think he had a really good laugh about that and I was just this idiot standing there at the bar going, cool.
Marine biologist.
You didn't pull a golf ball out of the top of the water, did you?
It was a tailist.
You didn't think the footy player would do it, Joey?
No, to be honest, I didn't think Erin was in my league when I was. I thought it was one of those ones that would just entertain myself for 15 minutes and chat to this beautiful woman, and that'd be the last I see of her. So I thought, didn't think it would pan out the way it did, but yeah, the icebreaker worked.
Well, she did go on to say that at the end of the night, she said, I'll befriend you on Facebook. And at that point, you had to come out with the fact that, A, you weren't a marine biologist, and B, that you'd given her a completely false name.
Yeah, and I had to wait a few weeks, actually, for the invite on Facebook, so it didn't come.
What was your name before you gave up the...
Billy. Billy was sort of, I don't know why, Billy.
And do you roll out much sort of marine biology stuff?
No, it was more marine biologist. Because we used to have a joke. We used to pretend we were dolphin trainers. And we thought that would work with the girls, if you're a dolphin trainer. No one's ever heard of a dolphin trainer, but someone's got to train the dolphins.
The second thing that was brought up, which I felt uncomfortable about, but Nathan Brown's been, we always speak to the beautiful better halves on the Friday huddle. Nathan Brown's been very keen to bring up the celebrity leave pass, which I didn't think was appropriate, but for the first time, we brought it out with your beautiful wife, the celebrity leave pass being if you met this person, you could spend some intimate time with them. Her response, wow, was quite remarkable.
He's got like about 50. So I'm in trouble.
Of course he is.
And I think like ones from like Beck from the Footy Show. So I'm in trouble. Look, yeah, he's got a few, but look, they're all beautiful women. So.
And yours?
Mine's Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. It's a little bit unrealistic.
Beck Madden, yeah, just a bit of footy show.
Hang on, I'm not sure where that one come from.
50.
Hang on. There are plenty out there, but I don't know where that one came from, actually.
Extraordinary stuff. I think we need to let you off the hook, mate. Mickey Roberts down on the boundary for the first time this afternoon. Mick, great to speak to you. How are you, brother?
I'm well, and have you got everything right in the box there?
Yeah, no, we're okay. Joey needs to straighten things up a touch, I think.
Andy McKay's down here. Macca, thanks for joining us. And that statement, no honourable defeats, you've been pretty competitive this year, 3-7. You'd like to win this one, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's obviously going to be a bit of a challenge. I think most people on first blush would look at the ladder and say, you know, the top team is playing the 17th team, so, you know, it's a fait accompli. But far from that, you know, we go into every game thinking that we've got a chance to win the game. And I suppose we've showed the general public a bit of that throughout the year, but just haven't been able to get over the line.
Mackie, you've got three blokes that I want to underline. The first one's Cruiser. Big fella plays his 150th. Daisy comes back in. And Liam Jones apparently has been playing like Peter Knight at centre-half back. He's been catching everything. So there's three blokes we've got to keep our eye on today.
Yeah, that's right. Really something different for Liam Jones at senior level. As you say, he's been shooting the lights out at Northern Bluesland the last 5 or 6 weeks, playing defence and putting some real pressure on their forwards. And, you know, it'd be a hell of a thing if he can come out and do the same thing against GWS today. Obviously, Daisy's back after the concussion and broken nose, so it'd be good to get him back. Cruiser's 150th too, which is a fantastic for him and a great thing for the club.
Macca, obviously there's a number of things you want to take away from the opposition, and we actually discussed it up here. I think it's going to be a cracking game. I think you're right. I don't think it's your genuine 2 versus 17 sort of contest because of the way you guys have been playing. But what are the things you think you need to do really well specifically against the Giants to take away from them?
Yeah, it's a good question, Rosie. Obviously, they're pretty good at winning the ball in tight, and then once they get it onto the outside, they're very, very quick moving the ball. So getting that balance right between the inside and outside play, that's really the key, I think.
Hey, Macca, Alex Silvani's only played the 5 games for the club so far this year, but he's certainly had a great impact since coming in.
Yeah, he has. He obviously slotted in onto our rookie list at the start of the year. Probably his mindset was, you know, his second or third reserve to come into the team, but he played such good footy at Northern Bluesland that we really couldn't ignore it, and he just gives us that hard edge at senior level, so he's been fantastic for us.
And Macca, just on your game style, I mean, one of the things that's always really hard is to get that fast play, slow play right. I think I did your game a couple of weeks ago against North, and you're probably a little bit slow early, but you are relying on the players, aren't you, more times than not, just to pick. I don't think you can go too fast on this ground because you can get into that sort of 400-metre relay where no one scores and it just goes up and down the ground.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Just have a kick to kick in the end, don't you, if you try and move it too quickly. So you've got to try and move it. Obviously, with the modern-day style, with everyone pressing, you've got to move it in a way that you've got someone to move it to, if that makes sense.
Hey, how have you rated Matty Cruz's year this year, Macca?
Yeah, really, really good. Cruz in good form. Probably the best form I've seen him for a long time. He had a really good pre-season. The most full pre-season he's had probably since he landed at the club, to be honest. We really have got it nailed on the management of his knee and his foot now, so that's made a hell of a difference.
Recruited heavily from GWS with Stephen Silvani obviously in charge. I think there's four former Giants playing for you guys today. Andrew, just touching on that recruiting strategy, do you feel like that's been a success for you guys, recruiting these bunches of players from the Giants?
Yeah, we do. Got four of the boys last year and then another one this year. And you know what, they've all stood up. Obviously, not all playing today, but the large majority are. And you've seen the likes of Plowman, and he's been solid last year and again this year. And Marchbank this year has been a great addition to the back line. Gives us a bit of intercept mark, a bit of run and good ball movement. So, yeah, we think it's worked really well.
Andrew, appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Carlton Footy Club today.
Yeah, thanks, gents.
Great to speak to Andrew McKay, the Carlton head of footy. The Blues out to the Lockett End, just going through a couple of early warm-ups. They take on GWS today under the roof at Eddie Had Stadium.
I reckon they're a sneaky outside chance. Yeah. We see a lot of footy every weekend, boys, and Joey, you're playing it. But this year, more than any year I can recall, Roosie, if you're on your game that day, bottom team can beat the top team.
I tell you what, I've never, Jay-Z, you can weigh on this, I've never really looked at it before, but the kiss of death in your paper, would he ever have had as many winners as he's had this year?
There has been, TAB did a thing, there has been more upsets this year than the previous 20 or something like that. I know my tipping has certainly taken a hit this weekend. Right, we love it, don't we, just going into a lot of games every weekend, not really knowing. And you look at the 8 at the moment, and you'd have to be an absolute genius to predict how it's going to look like from here.
Joey, it's been a tough period of time for your footy club. You've had a few losses in a row. when you were winning, it was all about, right, Riewoldt and Montagna must be re-signed, playing fantastic footy. I'm not sure the footy you individually is playing any differently, but when you start losing, all of a sudden the articles start appearing linked to your own name that you should hang up the boots. How are you tracking with it all?
Look, I'm okay. I understand the caper, and that's what we're in. And at the moment, you're right. I'm playing in a team that's not performing well, and I'm 33 years old, and that is a topic. So I'm okay with the conversations around my form, whether I should go on next year and all that sort of stuff. I've got no issue with it. I mean, ideally, prefer it not to be spoken about, but that's the nature we're in. I've played for 16 years and been around long enough to know that's how it is, and just got to be able to deal with it.
Well, Dermot Brereton went hard on Friday, Herald Sun columnist, and these guys have got a difficult job. They've got to be straight shooters, and Dermot Brereton is certainly one of those. But he did mention you this week, and it was pretty stinging criticism. Dermot wrote that the Saints' backline has gone past the need for you, Joey. He says, your kicking lacks the zip of other backline distributors, you don't run the lines from defence anymore, and you don't win critical contests. And probably the most stinging remark was, it is joked around the league that the hardest contested ball Montagna will fight for is against a teammate to take the kick in after a behind. I would imagine that would have stung a bit.
Yeah, that did, that last comment. I saw the article on the Friday and I actually phoned Dermot because I thought, I don't mind, as I said, about talking about my form and whether my kicking lacks zip or I'm too slow or too old. That's fine. I just thought when it was a bit of more of a personal cheap shot and taking the mickey out of me, I didn't think that was appropriate. So I just asked if he had an issue with me and if there was anything that I need to know, because I've never really had any issues with Dermot. And it was good for me to be able to get that off my chest and speak to him. And he gave me a response which was okay, but we move on. That's okay.
How do you feel like you're playing? Yeah, how do you feel like your own form is?
I've been going okay. I'm probably a bit like the team at the moment. I've played some really good football and been average at times. So, that's probably where it's at the moment. And we're losing when we're not playing well at the moment. So that's, I understand the situation. And, still a long way to the season to go, though.
I think we've got to be careful. And I know it's natural, and Joey mentioned, we've got to be careful of differentiating, poor form or whatever it might be with age. And I think that's the big, and I'm saying Joe's in poor form, but I'll use Jason Johansson as an example, who I watched the game the other night. How old's he?
Early 20s.
Early 20s. He's had a stinker, and the reason I mentioned Johansson is because you need players of all capabilities. You can't win a game with 22 Brett Kirks or Jack Viney's, and you can't win a game with 22 Ty Kennellys. Yeah, and there's all these different types of performers in between. You need balance around your side. Joey will know how well he's playing compared to what his best is, but I think he's got to be careful it doesn't become an age thing. And as you said, suddenly it swings because the team, everyone in a team is relying on everyone else. It's a lot easier for Joey to play half back when the mids are getting around the contest, the balloon balls are coming in. It's a lot easier for him to run and spread and use his speed and use his strengths. But watching St Kilda, and I just said to Joe before, watching St Kilda the last couple of weeks, they're just not getting the numbers around the football and they're not playing the type of football. And that then affects every single player within the football team. And that's consistent with every single team in the competition.
There's been a lot of discussion in the last couple of weeks, mate, about the pressure on players. And Alistair Clarkson said he tries to advise his young players not to follow social media, etc. When you're made aware of that, how do you stop that affecting your footy, your general life, your time at home? How do you make sure that's not infecting your world, for want of a better term?
It is very difficult. And that was part of the reason, particularly with that article, why I rang Dermot. I needed to get off my chest and speak to him about it, because if I just let that bottle up, I thought that was going to affect my mood and my football. So that's why I did that. You just need to learn with experience. You have to just try and put it aside and just concentrate on what you can control. And that's, getting to training, getting to work, continue to improve, and then how you perform on the weekends. And the rest of it takes care of itself. But it always just goes back to controlling what you can control and what you can do.
I admire Joey for doing it, not because he's here today, but I think it takes a certain person to pick the phone up and challenge respectfully the person that's written the article. But I think in light of the last couple of weeks, I think that's something that I personally am a lot more conscious of, is once we leave the game, it's easy to make judgment from an elevated position without having the respect or understanding of how difficult it is. Sometimes in the media, Roosey, we can be guilty of not understanding the potential impact that what we say or what we write may have on an individual. Now, you've got the confidence, Joey, to challenge Dermot on that, and congratulations on doing that. But there would be a lot of players out there that don't feel that they can do that. So what's the potential impact on a player who's already feeling like he's under enormous pressure.
I think the other thing is, Swat, you've got an obligation, I think, if you're in the media, to not make it personal, and not put your personal... I mean, I had a blue with Wolsey, and probably one of the only ones that I'd had in my whole... And Wolsey was my first coach, and I love him, and we've patched it up. And the reason it was is because he said something like Paul Roos is coaching for himself. And if he had said Paul Roos was the worst coach in the AFL, I'll cop that. That doesn't... But when it becomes more personal, I think that's when players, Joey, tend to get a little bit upset. If it's simply, well, I don't think Joey's kicking's great, or he's not picking up his man, or whatever, or Paul Roos, you know, made some shocking moves, or etc., then you cop that. I mean, that's just part of the... I think there's too much personalising and too much vilification, if you want to say, in the media at the moment.
I was wondering, Jay, if you think it does seem in the media that there's a lot more opinion pieces rather than factual stories with stats and proof to back it up. It seems to me that anyone can just have their opinion without necessarily backing it up, and that's just the way the articles are written these days.
It's a good point, Joey. I think because there's so much information out there in the media, there's so many websites, so much radio, you know, there's so much access to information. So to make your product stand out, you know, often you've got to have a stronger opinion, you know, be either first with the news or be just have a more interesting or a stronger opinion.
I don't think players have an issue with strong opinions, but provided, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's some validation or there's some substance behind the strong statement.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's fair, Schwanner.
I read the article and I was the one that sent it to you and said, have you seen this? Because I was chewing on my cornflakes and I thought, gee, that's... Because I enjoy reading Dermot's article and I'd enjoy the article to that point. And that stuck out to me like it had been highlighted. Would you write something like that about rumours about Joey and hardball gets, etc.? Would you write that?
Oh, I would have great difficulty writing something like that.
Why?
To be honest. Oh, look, I think something like that can be perceived as a bit of a cheap shot, possibly.
And so what did you think when you read it?
I thought that's a really stinging, harsh sort of a comment. But, you know, Derm's obviously got his sources, and you would imagine that it's come from somewhere. He hasn't just made it up. So it's uncomfortable that must be, Joey. Like, well, it would be completely irresponsible for him to have just made that up, if you know what I mean. So whether he did or not, who knows? But, yeah, that jumped off the page at me.
Oh, I think the other thing is, and Joey touched on it, players actually enjoy, and coaches, enjoy reading insightful things about football. As much as Joey's rung Dermot about something negative, and I've done this before, I've texted journalists and said, mate, well done, great article, rang them or I've run into them, I said, mate, I really enjoyed that article you wrote on the weekend. I think players equally enjoy when the game is expressed in the proper way and really appreciate that. And I don't think there's enough of that, Joe, and I think that comment you made before is really relevant.
Mix it up at Macca's and try the all-new Chicken Big Mac. McDonald's Triple M Rocking Footy, always a treat to speak to senior coaches, no more so than this man. Leon Cameron is down on the boundary with Mickey Roberts. Robbo.
Thanks, boys. Camo, just looking at a stat, and then you're the number one clearance side, but you're not as damaging scoring off those clearances compared to last year. Is that worrying for you, and how are you working on that?
Look, our fluency going forward, whether it's from clearance or turnover, hasn't been the greatest this year. I mean, our flow, whether we're making a poor decision, going inside 50, just outside 50, short or long, there's no doubt there's a little bit of a connection issue there at times. But I'd much prefer to still be able to win it at the hunt, and then hopefully we can tidy up that efficiency better than probably the other way around.
Stevie J back in, and they've had the roof open. They've closed it now. You're out in the middle pondering the surface. No doubt a game here last night. How do you see it, and why were you doing that?
Probably just wasting time. Look, the ground's in obviously really good nick. They had a game here last night. Just there's some parts of the ground where grass is a bit thinner than the others, and so it can be a little bit slippery. Mainly it is probably with young players, you're saying, make sure you wear the right boots. Everyone thinks normally you come to Etihad, you've got to wear moulders. And look, predominantly they're right, but there's times when there's a little bit of thin grass in patches of the ground, you wish you had a pair of screw-ins, so just having a bit of a look.
Leon, the big news this morning that broke was your star recruit, Brett Deledio, has hurt his calf again. Believe it to be his good calf. How disappointing is that for him and your footy club?
Yeah, we're not going to hide away from the fact that we are disappointed, more for Brett. I mean, obviously, we'd love him out here playing for us as well. But for Brett, it's a challenging time for him. It's been a challenging time since he probably, you know, around that February mark, where he had a really good start. His pre-season was great. And then he's had calf issues ever since, and we think that we're getting him right, and then we take a backward step, and we've taken another one on the week, on Thursday. He trained really well, and you know, the last minute or so when he was over in his rehab, he's just his other calf tweaked a little bit. And so, you know, with these injuries, you probably think it's a normal 1 or 2 week injury, but because he's had repeat calf issues, I can't tell you how long that's going to be. But yeah, we're not going to deny it. It's frustrating for him and frustrating for us.
So you're pretty hopeful that he will get back this season, or certainly that's the plan?
Oh, look, I've been saying that all year, Jay. I mean, you know, I'm confident that we're doing everything right for him. You know, his attitude towards his cross training is first class. So there's no doubt he needs match practice and footy and all that sort of stuff. But I don't think the fitness side of it's going to be massive. It's just whether his body's going to be able to hold up, and that's the million-dollar question at the moment.
Leon, it's been a challenging year for you guys so far, but it's been fantastic. I mean, the way you've responded to those challenges and you continue to win games has been fantastic, so congratulations on that. But how far away, I mean, as the coach, where do you see your team at in comparison to perhaps your best football?
It's a good question, Roosie, and it's a one that you sit there, as you know, you just ponder and think, you know, who is it? Who's going to take us to the next level? Who's going to play in that position? Are the kids that have come in, are they going to take over from one of the maybe so-called starting 22s that are out injured at the moment? I mean, it's always an interesting question. We're definitely not playing at our best. We have been better the last 2 weeks. We understand we've got some lucky results in previous to that, and probably didn't deserve probably to win one of those games. So, but we are finding ways with a relatively inexperienced team compared to last year. So, look, that's pleasing that they have got a will to win, our guys, and that's fantastic. It's really hard to train that, as you know. But you don't want to be running that gauntlet too much, and hopefully over the coming weeks we can find a more consistent brand for us.
Hey, Bakes, I've really enjoyed the season so far of Timmy Taranto. With a full list, would he have played by this stage? And if so, would he have played as many games as what he has so far?
It's an interesting one, hard one to answer. Would he have played? Absolutely. He definitely would have played. His pre-season form was great. We know he's a high draft pick. But these high draft picks that can come in sometimes need a full pre-season. He didn't really need one because he's got such a big motor, and he's 187 and he's probably about 90 kilos already. So he's actually really built for the game already. There's no doubt if there was some other players, would that be putting pressure on, you know, a kid like him to play every week? It's a hard one to answer. But what I will say, after 11 rounds that I've seen him, there's no doubt he's probably nearly close to our best 22 now.
Mate, what about Carlton? What do you see when you look at the opposition today? Because, I mean, it's hard for you, but we see this as a really, really competitive game. I mean, probably people have written Carlton off a bit, but what do you see as the opposition coach with the Carlton Footy Club?
They're very similar to us in terms of where we were a year or so ago, in terms of they're building a young list, like we've built a young list. We've added some experience around our young players over the last couple of years to fast track their development and also be more competitive. Their top end talent is enormous. I mean, they've got an enormous amount of talent, and they play a brand of footy which is really well coached by Brendan Bolton, that everyone's on the same page. We were looking at vision during the week, and their defensive side of their game is absolutely first class. It's going to be really tough for us to score today because every one of their players are in sync. The challenge for us is making sure that we don't get frustrated by that, and also make sure that then when they get their turn to rebound, that they don't score against us. It'll be interesting to see their forward setup because the talent in that is enormous, and we've got to make sure that we respect that from, you know, minute one to 120.
Good on you, coach. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Giants today.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
Big game tomorrow, the Queen's birthday game, but it's also a big day for Freeze MND, and a man that is synonymous with the Melbourne Football Club. He's got a big role to play with Freeze MND in support of his former coach. That's Neil Danaher tomorrow. 306 games for the Ds, 631 goals. He was a towering presence inside the forward 50 for the Demons for a long period of time, but he's also involved in a great initiative, Brumanity, and the man behind Brumanity is David Neitz. Welcome, Nita.
Yes, thank you very much, guys. It's been a good year and a half, I suppose, with Brumanity. So we've done a few good things and had a few good beers along the way, and it'll be a fun night tonight. We're down at the Sporting Globe, and we'll hand over a cheque for $50,000 to add to the previous 100 that we've raised so far. So it'll be a fun night at Sporting Globe tonight.
Well, it's an outstanding effort, Nita, from you and everybody involved. For those who may not know, tell us a little bit about Brewmanity.
Well, it's good beer, good deeds and good times is really what we're about. So we're a little craft beer company. We started probably pretty similar time to when Neil kicked off his campaign, and he, in a lot of ways, he was the inspiration behind getting up and going. And obviously, we wanted to tie it to doing some good things while you're doing a simple thing like having a beer. So, we've just put it into cans recently. We're in its first choice liquor and vintage cellars. So hopefully people can get into those stores and support us and support MND along the way.
That's it, Nita. Jump to a Sporting Globe venue for Brewmanity Hour between 6 and 7 tonight. 100% of the profits will be donated to Fight MND. Also, you can donate to MND. Head to fightmnd.org.au. Nita, you're a big Melbourne man. How are you assessing what's happening down there at the moment? Are you happy with the way things are going? Are you getting a bit edgy?
No, I'm happy with the way things are going. I think, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a fair bit of trouble at Demon Land, but the ship has certainly been steadied, and the list is taking shape and looking pretty good, I think, at the moment. So, I think it's exciting times. There's still a little bit of maturity to come through with our guys. A few opportunities we haven't quite taken this year, but we've sort of been thereabouts, and the old coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm. We coulda, shoulda, woulda won just about every game we played in, but we just haven't quite got the maturity to grab hold of every opportunity, but we're on the right pathway.
$50,000 to the Danaher family to support Fight MND. It's a wonderful effort by you and everyone at Brewmanity. Jump down to Sporting Globe, get your hands on a few of those beers, and you can help out as well. Good on you, Nita. We appreciate your time. No doubt we'll see you at the mighty MCG tomorrow.
No worries. Thank you very much, guys.
It is that time of the show where Jay-Z really hits us between the eyes with the big issues. Jay-Z, time for your big three, brother.
Howie, it was a bit unsavoury last night. As good as Essendon's form was, there was some muffled booing of Port Adelaide's Patrick Ryder. Of course, a former Essendon player left after the sort of the supplement issues continued on and has reignited in his form and his career at Port Adelaide excellently this year. He's been probably the best bomber of all those banned players. But to hear him booed last night, like, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth. And it was only muffled and it wasn't really loud, like the Adam Good situation or anything like that. But, I thought it was really unsavoury. And it was raised with the two coaches after the game. Let's listen to Ken Hinckley and John Worsfold.
It's his old club. That's what happens. I think everyone does it. I think it's, I think most of the Essendon people would all be pretty proud of Paddy most times. But I understand why they would. That's the tribal stuff that goes on in footy. Don't mind it.
Yeah, look, I didn't really notice it, and I wouldn't know the background to that. Obviously, a former Essendon player, so none of us really like booing as part of the game. Maybe if there's an incident that happens, the crowd carry it for part of a game, but he's obviously a wonderful footballer, and don't like to see that.
I would have thought it's a bit harsh from the Essendon fans, given what all the Essendon players were put through for what that four-year period. I didn't like it, Roosie. What did you think?
Yeah, I was watching at home, and Swat and I were spoken. It didn't sort of come through as much at home, I didn't think. But, look, let's just put it down to that opposition player playing against his old team, because I think, and you touched on that Nathan Lovett-Murray one with the daughter as well. I mean, this Essendon boys have been through an enormous amount, enormous amount. And I'm just going to put it down to that. Yeah, nothing other than the fact that he's playing against his old team. He's had a terrific season, because none of us want to see any of the Essendon players go through any more problems than what they've already been through. And, we want them to get on with their lives, get on with their footy, and let them play or do whatever they need to do.
From a player's perspective, Joey?
No, I think same as Roosie. I just think it's just the old people booing because he used to play for that club. I don't think you want to try and read too much into it. Yes, there were obviously some sensitivities around him leaving, but other players have left clubs for compassionate reasons and for other situations, and they still get booed. So look, I don't think it's too big of an issue.
Do you hear it on the field when that happens, when players do get bowed? Do you sort of, are you aware of it?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I actually got a bit frustrated a few weeks ago when Paddy McCartan actually got a Bronx cheer from the crowd. And I sort of remember it was out in the ground and sort of rolled my eyes like, is this guy serious? Like, come on, man. So sometimes you do and you you shouldn't let it affect you too much.
And the other big story tomorrow, and you've been central to this, Schwatter, about Alex Fasolo. He has been picked to play in the Queen's Birthday blockbuster, Melbourne versus Collingwood, of course, after stepping out of football for 1 week with his depression problem. And I think we all have lauded Fasolo's openness and bravery, and he's been magnificently supported by his football club. Schwatter, you must be pretty proud of the fact that he's been picked to play tomorrow.
Yeah, it's huge. I must admit that I was surprised on Thursday night when I saw his name included in the 22. But I'm going to back in Alex. I'm going to back in Nathan Buckley. I'm going to back in the medical team at Collingwood. They certainly wouldn't make a decision, given the situation that Alex is dealing with, if they weren't confident and he wasn't confident that he could cope. And I was called by another journo this morning, Jay-Z, and when I was asked what I thought about it, I actually think what Alex did 2 weeks ago has actually bought himself some time, and it's taken the pressure off, because it's in the public domain. We all now know what Alex is dealing with, and I think when you make that decision, it's actually taken, I would assume, it's taken a significant amount of pressure off Alex, because it's out now, so all he needs to do is continue to do the work privately, and he can go about his footy without feeling like he's got to hide what he's trying to deal with. And I think that's a really big positive. The other big positive that I have with regards to this, I hope that sends a really positive message to anybody in the broader community that, hey, you can live with these conditions, but it doesn't have to stop you doing what you're really passionate about, and I think Alex has done that.
Jay-Z, two-thirds of the way through the big three, we better fire the last one, brother.
Well, the third one involves our man, Roosie, here. Right. There was a story, the Saturday Herald Sun, reflecting back on the Josh Kelly trade. So going back a few years, you'll remember that Melbourne basically picked up the draft pick that got Jaden Hunt, the pick that got Christian Salem and Dom Tyson for GWS, and then pick two went to GWS and they picked Josh Kelly. So basically, Melbourne forego the chance to take either Jack Billings or Josh Kelly and instead got Tyson, Salem and the pick for Hunt. And there were some anonymous recruiters, Roosie, your favourite
anonymous sources,
saying that it was a short-sighted decision for Melbourne. Now, from your perspective, was it a good move for Melbourne at the time?
Look, I think the thing for Melbourne at the time, and there was a couple of things in the article that mentioned that, I was the one that made the decision. List managers, Todd Viney, head of recruiting's Jason Taylor. So, look, I'm just part of the process. Yeah, at the time, if you're giving up pick two, you know you're giving away a quality player. I mean, it's not a question about that. I think our recruiters had Boyd, that was Boyd's year, wasn't it? Boyd one, Billings two, and Kelly three. So we didn't actually have Kelly as number two, and I've said that 100 times, but Sam obviously is not listening to me. But you know you're going to give away a quality player. One of the things I noticed over 12 years of coaching and being involved in recruiting, I was never, you're watching tapes and you're helping and all those sorts of things. Sydney had a huge advantage, probably less so at Melbourne because by that stage they were a bit more sophisticated. But too many clubs were worried about what they gave away. And they were paranoid about giving something away, thinking, oh, if we give something... The teams that do it really well know what they need and they don't worry about what they're giving away, in a sense, if that makes sense. We got slaughtered for giving away pick 15 for Darren Jolly. Is that
worked
right in hindsight?
Okay.
Worked out pretty well. Slaughtered for giving away pick 19 for Teddy Richards. How'd that go?
Premiership.
But pick 15 might have been a great player. Pick 19 might have been a great player. My point is, don't worry about what you need at the time. You know giving away pick two, whether it's Jack Billings, and Joey, I'll get you to weigh in it. Jack Billings, I saw his tapes. I saw Josh Kelly's tapes. I spoke to some people. I think it's just pretty cheap when you're going back on a draft and you're sort of saying...
In hindsight,
it's... Would I trade now Salem, Tyson and Hunt for Kelly? No, I wouldn't. But Kelly is an outstanding footballer, and what the Giants needed at the time was one player. What the Demons needed at the time was more. We basically had Nathan Jones and pretty much no one through the midfield. So, look, I just get uncomfortable when people go back over drafts and unnamed recruiters. Tell me who the recruiter is. Get him to ring me up and I'll explain how recruiting works to him. I'm happy to help him out. If he wants me to help him out, I'll explain how list management works. I'll explain how recruiting works. I'll give him a number.
I think Don Tyson was top five in Melbourne's best and fairest.
Yeah, and look, he's season. And we wouldn't be, and I'll keep saying, we wouldn't be where we're at if had we not done that trade. The Giants could win the premiership because they got Josh Kelly. So it's an absolute win-win for both football clubs. No question about that.
Gee, Clark, you're just sort of pressing a few buttons. The Zen Master went a bit off the Zen sort of.
Well, I'll give you another tip. Let me tell you who's going to win last year's grand final. The Bulldogs.
Did you get a few text messages, Roosie, when the article was published?
No.
Hey, Roosie, we were just chatting about Liam Jones, who spent... he came across from the Bulldogs. I think it was originally a three-year deal, Jay-Z, and reasonably lucrative three-year deal to join Carlton. It hasn't really worked out for him. He's back in the side today, reinvented as a backman. But through your own family connections, you've seen a fair bit of him play. You were just telling us some extraordinary stuff in the break.
Yeah, look, I've watched the Northern Blues a fair bit. My son plays down there. So I've watched Liam Jones a lot over the last 18 months. He's played some exceptional VFL football. Exceptional. Both ends of the ground. He'll take 3 to 4... amazing contested marks. Now, the challenge for him, clearly the VFL game is very, very different to the AFL game. And what I understand, for those that have been intimately involved, he's not a great runner. Now, he can get away with that at VFL level, but I can assure you that he's coming into this game in exceptional form. Apparently a terrific fella. All the boys down at the Northern Blues really like him. He embraces the young kids when he goes back down there and plays down there. So they're really excited. So he's coming in really good form. And look, maybe he's going to be those late developers. The challenge is having to cover more ground at AFL level than he does have to at VFL. But he's played some exceptional football when I've watched him play.
I reckon that's the definition of good coaching, Joey. I'm sure you've seen it with players where they struggle and all of a sudden they get moved to a different end of the ground and all of a sudden they become wonderful AFL footballers.
Yeah, it is the key to be able to have an open mind with players and not necessarily pigeonhole them, in certain positions and let them, use their attributes. And obviously he's a beautiful contestant, Mark Jones, and he's just, his ability to get to contests has been an issue. So we might see him flourish today at AFL level, which would be good to see.
Jay-Z, Daisy Thomas back in the Carlton side, seen him out here warming up. Personally, I'd love to see him tear it apart. We'd love to see him play some great games for Carlton. I think they're a better team when Daisy's up and about in that side.
Back from a head knock, his form was probably average early, but I think before that head knock in that last month, he sort of sprung to life a little bit. So they've removed some contractual clauses out of his deal, so it doesn't depend on how many games he plays this year. Whether he goes on to next year, he sort of can clear that out. And yeah, I think everyone you talk to at Carlton are sort of reasonably happy with what he's producing. And behind the scenes, behind the curtain, he's a very bubbly, energetic presence, and especially around the young guys, so they love him for that.
Joey, I'm not sure about who you have and haven't played. Obviously, you've played Adelaide. Have you played the Giants?
Yeah, we've played both teams. We beat the Giants here on the Friday night game 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we also played Carlton. So, I think Leon Cameron summed it up really well. Carlton are very, very good at structuring up behind the football. They give themselves a chance in every contest and every game because they are so well-drilled defensively. It's just going to be their ball movement and whether they can cause enough turnovers to give themselves a chance to score.
Team not going... Sorry, Rudy. Right.
I was really impressed, Joey, with Doherty. Doherty's organisation down back, and I've seen Carlton play a lot. They've always... They don't give you the over-the-top goal, do they? They're very well... They'll come off ball, they'll sit that one back, and they are very hard to score against.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, Doherty is their one that's almost got the licence to set up where he wants to set up, and the rest of the defenders work around him, and they've done that brilliantly well this year. So that'll be GWS's challenge to be able to try and move the ball quickly.
Jay-Z, the Dogs are going through a tough little period at the moment. A few questions were put to the coach in the press conference, I noted, with interest.
Yeah, they're just clinging to the eight. And Tom Liberatore is obviously a huge focus. So beaten up a bit around the contested footy by Sydney at the weekend, fellas. And Tom Liberatore still in the VFL. Now, the coach Luke Beveridge was asked about Tom Liberatore in the press conference. And this is what he had to say.
What's required of Tom Liberatore to get back into the side?
Do you know much about how he's been playing?
I heard he's been getting a lot of the ball and competing well.
Who'd you hear that from?
Just through the club sources and...
Yeah, people I don't think any of the club sources have said that. We pick our team on performance. He's not the only one who's come back this year and hasn't been able to find his best, but he's not the only one who hasn't kept his spot on the side. Sure, he'll come in at some point, but we need our players playing at their very, very best. It's the reason why we're 6-5, because we've stagnated. You don't get picked on reputation if you're not playing well enough, someone takes your spot.
Doesn't sound like Tommy Liberatore is playing on Sunday versus Melbourne, Roosie.
Look, it's not that hard, and I can see why Bevo gets frustrated with that question, because if you can look up the stats in the VFL. I think the other week Honeychurch had 30-plus and Lucas Webb, I think, had 30-plus, kicked 3 goals, and Libba was down at 20 possessions. So it's not that hard to see that he's not playing very well at VFL level, and I can understand Bevo's frustration. And to be a really good team, Joey, you need to reward performance. You can't just throw players in a team just because they've got a good name or they've played well in the past, and that's been Bevo's... the way they've operated. That's the way they've operated.
Absolutely. Integrity of selection is the key to being a really successful team.
The curious one is Tim English, because you see the first year ruckman out there, and look, he'll be a very good player, a Dean Cox type prototype, but he doesn't look like he's up to the speed of the game or comfortable at AFL level so far. Is that a fair assessment, Rosie?
Yeah, look, and that's the balance, Jay-Z. I mean, look, you can't put, and I'm not suggesting, because I'm not privy and I haven't watched the seconds. Obviously, I can look up stats, but I haven't watched the seconds. But look, the danger is if you put a sort of skinny kid in, and I thought he looked all at sea. He's going to be a good player, but he did get bashed up a bit around the ruck contest. So that's the fine line. You know, you might have a kid that's playing well at VFL level, but physically might not be capable. Wet night, slippery, well, wasn't too bad, but slippery, balls on the ground, etc., etc. But again, we're not really privy to the absolute performance at VFL level and the selection criteria in terms of they obviously needed a second ruckman, and Libba's not going to be able to play that role.
Mark, how with you? Wayne Swass, Jay Clark, Paul Ruse, and Joey Montagna, both teams have left the arena. Just down the Giants there, Joey. Everyone pencils them in at this stage as premiership favourites. What's it like to play against the GWS? So you guys obviously did a very good job when you did play them.
Yeah, no, I certainly think they're the team to beat. You see what they've been able to do so far this year with their injury list, and you know you think of what it can look like later in the year when they get fit and healthy again. Yeah, they are a great side, but they're not unbeatable. You know, we proved that a few weeks ago. You need to match them in the contest. If you let them get on top, contest the ball, you know, then Scully and Williams and these guys come into play, and it's going to be, you know, hard work. So if Carlton, which they're a very good side, Carlton match them, contest the ball, get their hands on the footy first, that's a long way to going to give themselves a chance to win the game.
What type of things was Richo putting on the whiteboard during the week that we must do this to beat this side when you played them?
Yeah, it was. It was get to the ball, get numbers to the footy, out-hunt them, out-work them. That was the number one thing, and then also from there be able to stop their rebound off halfback. That, you know, that's where they start a lot of their slingshot footy and try and nullify their halfbacks. But get your numbers to the footy, win the contested ball, and get the ball going your way.
Oh, I think the hardest thing with the Giants, Joe, is their inside and outside game. I mean, that's the hardest thing when you're playing against them, because, I mean, every team wants to win the inside battle, but the Giants have an amazing capacity. They've got such great runners, you know, like their wings are elite. Scully's an elite runner. Whitfield's an elite runner. Kelly's an elite runner. And they run really hard and long. So you as a midfielder, you can't take a nap against the Giants. I think that's the biggest thing. And you've got to be on for 120 minutes. And you've got to really challenge. I think more so than any side in the competition, you have to win the midfield battle against the Giants.
Yeah, that's the ground ball. And that's the key. And it's not necessarily stoppages. It might be a contest on the wing. You've just got to get over to the footy and win that ground ball battle. Because, as Roosie said, if the inside mids get their hands on it, and Ward and Scully, and they feed it out to their runners, well, good luck.
Josh Kelly rated the number one player in the competition over the past month by his peers in the AFLPA award. Joey, you've seen him. You've admired him clearly. What are the whispers? Do you think you're any chance to be able to get him? St Kilda, we know, is one of two clubs.
Here's a headline.
Well, I hope so. I think all other clubs, 17 clubs in the competition, would like Josh Kelly on their list.
He'd be perfect for you guys, wouldn't he?
Well, he would. Well, I'd say he'd be perfect for most teams in the competition. But, yeah, certainly we need, you know, it's well publicised, we need some more quality A-graders in our team, and he's certainly one of them. So look forward to watching him today.
What did you say to him when you shook his hand?
No, I just said you're a good young player. I like the way you go about your footy. That's all I said.
Well, if you were in charge of the checkbook, Joey, what type of money would you be prepared to hand over for a young superstar like that?
It's a good question, isn't it? Whatever you need to get him, I think. You know, there are some, I mean, you can't sell the farm to get him, but you certainly need to pay some big money to get players like that to your club. I've got no issue with, you know, I don't think some talk about odd to players care if you're paying. I've got no issue paying big money to a really good player. You probably, as players, you get a bit frustrated if someone's getting paid a lot of money that isn't a very good player. So
who are those players, though, Joey?
It must be natural.
There's plenty in the cup.
It must be natural that you sit around discussing it with your mates, whether you're out for coffee or whatever. Geez, it'd be handy to get this bloke or that bloke.
Yeah, you do, but that's just general footy banter that any other person on the street has. We still have those, you know, those similar conversations with, you know, without too much in-depth knowledge.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.